Welcome to Leverage Masters, airing weekly on Tuesdays at 12 Eastern and on demand on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Leverage Masters hosts Jack Humphrey and Gina Gaudio-Graves discuss leverage strategy with guest leveragists. Be sure to subscribe to Leverage Masters in your favorite podcatcher for great tips and case studies on using leverage to achieve your biggest goals much faster.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Leverage Masters. I am your co-host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, and along with my co-host and all-around partner in crime, Jack Humphrey, we are the co-founders of TheLeverageist.com and Divizio. Hi, Gundy. Hang on just one second, and we will get you introduced properly.
Gundy Gabrielle is with us today, and she's going to share her proven four-week plan to growing your audience, exploding your mailing list, and attracting new clients with bestseller publishing. Gundy is a top 100 business author and nine-time number one best-selling author, as well as a lifestyle entrepreneur and former Carnegie Hall conductor. Wow. Man, we're going to have a good show today. She's been featured on the Huffington Post, New York Times, Smart Blogger, Kindlepreneur, and Good Life Zen, among others. But yeah, welcome to Leverage Masters. I'll start you off the way we do everybody, and that is, we heard your introduction, but what is on your mind right now? What is the biggest thing burning in your belly when you wake up in the morning to do? What do you love about life right now?
I love about life the freedom I have. Freedom is the most important word for me in the English language. And running online businesses and leveraging my income in this way and audiences and all the different things I do has given me the freedom to basically be a permanent traveler, what is called a digital nomad. And I've been on the road for quite some time, a couple of years now. I'm currently in Spain. Poor me. Beautiful weather here. And it's just wonderful to have that freedom to be wherever you are and work from anywhere and be your own boss, basically. So that's what's on my mind when I wake up in the morning, gratitude for that.
Gundy, I don't know if you're aware, but I spent 10 years on the road as a full-time RVer traveling all over the United States. It was an amazing lifestyle.
Isn't it? Yeah. I've been to all 50 states, including I drove up to Alaska from California. In the summer, though.
You got it bad. You really have the travel bug. That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
well, that's
kind
awesome.
Of what forced
what
me
makes
into
you... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, that's
kind
of what forced me also into finding these online, other business options that allowed me to live in this way. And change what I did before, basically.
Yeah. Is it weird, though? I mean, a lot of times people will say that, and we'll just let it go by because we've explored an awful lot about the nomadic lifestyle of an entrepreneur who enjoys traveling as much as you do. But is it weird to dock when you have to dock with what the real world is like or what we consider what the real world is? Because you must feel like you don't really – have a lot in common with average people who basically stay in place. And it just must be so weird. It must be, I mean, traveler takes on a whole new meaning when you take the full scope of the meaning that it could have. Like, you really are a traveler, and you kind of skip over the top of how everything kind of works in this world. Most people stay in their one place and maybe move a couple of times during their lives, how do you reconcile almost that vacation-like feel with, well, I also still need to get work done, and it's not completely fantasy land, right? And we never really ask people who are in your kind of lifestyle that question.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, it doesn't always feel like work when you love what you do. I mean, you know, that's one of the wonderful mm-hmm. things when you find a business like that. In my case, a lot of it is writing. I'm also very connected. We have a very active Facebook group with newbie authors and bloggers and so forth. I'm in there very actively. So I'm in touch with that. And for me, it's just fun to help people achieve that freedom as well. And it doesn't necessarily mean traveling. That's not what everybody wants to do. But sometimes it's just, you know, spending more time with your kids or have a hobby that you can finally do. It's for me, it's really more about the freedom more so than the traveling. That's just something I personally like to do. And there may come a time and I do something different, or I might, but I don't like the word settling down, but you know, a little bit more than right now, but it's just the freedom to choose how you want to live your life and how you want to spend your day. And yes, there are things to course when you run a business, you know, that there's not everything is fun. And sometimes you just have to make yourself do things. But the thing is that you always keep in mind, whatever I'm doing here, even if I don't like it, it allows me that lifestyle and that freedom. And then you think, okay, I can do that. You know, that to me helps a big deal. And what I did before, I was a classical musician initially. I don't know if you mentioned that in the intro.
So I have not a exactly question or two about that too.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, you know, it was all good and all, but you're still more tied in. And, yeah, even there, in fact, I started my own ensemble and had the entrepreneur bug and the freedom of that and the marketing bug. So even there, it kind of tied in. The thing is with marketing and running a business, you can do it with anything and even turn your passion into a business, which is something I'm very much focused on with my books and what I teach people. So it doesn't always feel like work. It's just part of what brings you the freedom. It's a very different way of looking at it, I guess.
I guess I've always told myself that since there's no beach to distract me and there's, you know, the hiking trails are a little bit further away from me and everything, that's why I can be productive. On the other side of that is I know how I am when there is a beach around, and I don't know that I have the self-discipline. I've never shown myself to have it before. You know, like we go to a conference or something in Florida in a nice place, and it's very difficult for me to stay in the hotel and network with people when there's all that beauty and sunshine and everything around. So,
yeah, but I mean, temporary thing then, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, and the other problem I have is I always fall in love with everywhere I go, and I picture how it would be to just live there. And I feel like if I went to Spain or Portugal, or I've been looking at Portugal, I've also looked at Costa Rica and places like that, and I just instantly fall in love with beautiful places. And it just seems like I hear people like you say the things that you do, but I don't know that I have the capacity to leave those places once I visit them. I always feel like something would hook me and I would still be somebody who stayed in place a lot more, because I'm so easily impressed with beautiful places. True. Nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. In fact, and you know, here's another thing. In Spain, I actually stayed longer. I've been here for a couple of months in the same place. I often do house sits along the way because it's a lovely way to sit. You stay at really nice places. It's quiet. And those are more the times when I get a lot of work done, for example. Like I created a course over the summer and I wrote a couple of more books. And for that, you do need to be in one place and really focus. I know what you mean. And so I sort of alternate usually with these periods for a month or two, and then I travel again more actively. It's just that I don't come home, so to speak, to a place in the U.S. By the way, the U.S. is still my favorite country to travel in, I have to say, after everything I've seen. I absolutely love that country. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful country that people often don't really realize how beautiful it actually is. But for me, it's just this not having to settle down and have to be back in a certain place, whether it's rent to pay or whatever. I mean, you still pay rent, but you're not long term necessarily. But I definitely need, when you run businesses and do this permanently, you definitely need times where you just really focus completely on that. And then you have play time again, and then I travel and road trip for a month or two again. Still work, but not as much, because you're busy during the day, you see things, and you're tired in the evening, right? And so that's how it works for me. I have phases of each, and they alternate.
Well, I can totally understand why it's just an awesome thing. And I know that a lot of people are listening going, well, how do you do this? How Do you have something that provides for you to be able to have this kind of style? And that's got to be a question on the tip of everyone's tongue who don't aspire to travel as much as you do. Just that freedom, like your number one word. How have you set yourself up? What does your business look like? You know, primarily what you do day in and day out to be able to secure that precious word freedom.
Yeah, well, two things here. The first thing that for me, the most important thing to create is always passive income streams. So I never wanted to be in the freelancing business as much. I've done that in the beginning, but my end game was always passive income as much as possible, because that is really what sustains you in this way. And that gives you the freedom to do whatever else you want to do or add things. And I started blogging, but then very quickly got into self-publishing on Amazon 2 years ago, and that took off very quickly and sustained me, nonfiction in this case, and also built a mailing list very quickly. It's really amazing how, if you know how to market on Amazon, how incredibly, literally overnight that starts coming in, or people requesting your services. And like I said, most days I still did some freelancing, and how you can connect with people, and plus at the same time you're creating passive income, and you can also market affiliate products in a non-pitchy way, because my first book was about how to start a blog, so something very simple really, but obviously there's a couple of affiliate things you can also mention in that context, you know. So that's another income stream. So affiliate marketing is the second big leg. I also have some niche sites and things like that, so I spent this first year also intensely more learning SEO and other marketing techniques, but it always came back to publishing. That seems to gel the best with me, or to connect with readers in this way. And then also out of that, course creation, as I just said now. So all of these are passive income streams where, yes, you initially put some time in, but then it's more maintenance down the road, and you can add another asset, so to speak. So that, to me, is, I think, a key here, rather than trading your time for money all the time. Which you can still do for fun, but
wow.
You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, big difference.
Well, I just pulled up absolutely. And I just pulled up your Amazon page, and holy cow, you've been busy. This is something, so I'm going to ask some naive questions, because I never personally got into the Amazon publishing thing, and I have some probably incorrect preconceived ideas about what this is, especially in 2017 going into 2018. Because when I first learned about this I saw someone's profile like yours, which has just books that go right off the side. There's so many books, which explains a lot from your introduction. But is this the same as it used to be? Are there any new things and that people need to pay attention to? I don't even know really where to start this question, but if somebody had never heard about publishing in the way that you're doing on Amazon, and how you're getting the work out there, and how you're successful at getting attention for it, how would you start people off to describe that?
Well, the first and I think most important thing to understand, and that's the magic really here, is that you're leveraging, using your show's name, the marketing power of the biggest store in the world. And that's why it is, when you do it right, and most people don't, but if you do it right, it's phenomenal in its marketing power, and it is incredibly quick. You don't have to do SEO, which takes usually months to get traction, or influencer work. You can still do that, and you should do that. But with Amazon, if you publish a book and you do a really powerful launch, which is not that difficult to do, and it's certainly not very expensive, you have Amazon who keeps promoting your book for you. If they see your book does well and it gets social proof, on Amazon social proof means a lot of reviews, and you can use in the launch week, for example, you use a couple of promo services. Those are services for perfectly legit. They have large mailing lists or large social media followings, and every day they present a new book for at a 99-cent promo or a free promo, and that's how you get eyeballs on your book at first. And then there's a couple of other things, keywords, of course, like with anything, is Amazon SEO, really, that you need to do. And a couple of tactics you can use to get your books, first of all, to bestseller rank, which is actually not as difficult to do, but then also to keep it selling long term. I just got an email today from Amazon where they asked if they could include some of my books in their promos. do I say no? Of course not. It's amazing.
Oh,
you know, when
yeah.
they send out, I've had this number of times, when they send my books out in emails to people, I'm sure we all have gotten emails from Amazon where they recommend books based on your interests. And my books have been in there a number of times, and it doesn't cost me anything, nor does it cost anything to publish, both Kindle or print. You can just upload the files. That part is free. And you are immediately on there. And if you don't just upload, I think that's what a lot of people do wrong. They just upload it and then hope magically someone will discover the book, which, of course, never happens. You know, there's a whole strategy to this. And when you do that, a lot of people, thousands of people, can find your book. And the other cool thing is you can put a lead magnet in the beginning or wherever throughout the book where you offer a free report or a checklist or something related to the book. And when people want to get that, they need to give their email address. And that's how you build your mailing list. Automatically, every morning I have no new subscribers without doing anything at all. In fact, Amazon in a way pays me via royalty, if you will, you know, to build my mailing list. It's pretty amazing. And I don't know any other marketing form that's that quick and that effective, because once again, you leverage a platform, the biggest store in the world, basically. And that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and they want to.
Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yes, very much. Well, because you are still, what I want to say is that you're still doing something that worked even years ago, and it's still obviously viable. It's still obviously something that you feel completely comfortable investing everything in, mainly your time, because it's very inexpensive too. And what's also
yeah.
really cool about that is how much Amazon goes to bat for you. If you show a little bit of success, it tips off their algorithm that puts you in that remarketing campaign, right, where they kind of stalk you around
yeah.
the Internet
yeah.
after they've shopped for your book. They say you might also like. I bet you get that a lot with the list of titles that you have. I can't imagine the
yeah,
amount
and if
of traffic
doing
that
well,
you get
yes.
that's just recommended. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like two of these books have been number one since they were published. So it wasn't like most authors get a number one for a week and then they're gone. So like the social media book and the Kindle publishing book published earlier this beginning of the year, I think February or something like that. And they have been nonstop number one since then because people like those books. They were marketed in a smart way. It's not that I'm better than anybody else, not at all. It's just a smart marketing technique. And also to keep them selling. And then when Amazon wants to make money. They're in the business of making money. It's not a favor. But when they see something is doing well, they see they can make money off that book, then they will promote it. So you give them an enticement, and it's an algorithm just like Google. It just works a little bit different in some things. But it can be prepared. You can never completely predict how well a book will do, obviously, just like you can't predict how well a site will ever rank. But you can do a lot. And then, of course, the power of a series in this case, too. If you have a series of books, of shorter books that are related, then a lot of times people buy the entire series. So that's another little secret here.
yeah. Well, and I think we talked about that probably on a long ago episode. It seems sometimes you forget if you talk about it on the podcast or in another setting. But I think we might have had that, and listeners would have to go back several years probably to remember that. Thank you, guys, if you're still here this year. But we also heard about, so serial, you're talking about serial books, and but what about books that come out in pieces? Does that work? Have you ever tried that? Were you published, like some fiction authors will, and Stephen King actually did that, I think with one of his last, came out with something that was to be continued along the same story line. He broke it up into different pieces of books. Is that something that you recommend or teach people, or is it?
I've never done that, but it's also, fiction is a bit different. I mean, some of the principles apply, but I have never published fiction, so I'm not really an expert on that. But I think what he does is kind of the same thing, though. It's sort of still a series. He splits up one bigger book into small, and that's another thing that's good to know for Kindle. A short is the new long, so shorter books are doing a lot better. So for Kindle, at least nonfiction, you kind of aim for 12 to 25,000 words, not more. because it's too much otherwise. And then it's better to have a related topic and put it in the next book of the series. I mean, even when I buy an ebook, I don't usually want to have an endlessly long book on an iPad or wherever you read it. It's just not something we like doing. We do it for a famous author, but otherwise I kind of much prefer to have a shorter book and then read the next book rather than having an endlessly long 500-page book in ebook form, right? It's difficult. It's different when it's physical, and even then it's easier to do. We are all so busy. It's easier. It seems more manageable. And that has proven to be quite true, and apparently for fiction writers as well, where their novellas are oftentimes doing better than the full-length books. But for nonfiction, definitely. That's sort of the frame successful nonfiction authors at least mostly use, which is not that much. So it doesn't take you months and years to write a book. You can do that relatively quickly, especially if you know the topic well. You know, and I teach my courses about that, really, client generation through that. So this would be something for coaches, consultants, so forth. In other words, they know their stuff inside out, and they probably have a certain technique that they teach. So it would be very easy for them to write it down. That's not the problem. And then you can have several different aspects that you spread out over a series, right? So you don't have it all in one. And people love series. Something about this completion thing where we just kind of like to have the whole thing, you know? You start with one, you like it. That's why these promos are so important, because that's how you introduce people to you when they don't know you. And then they like it. And the pink books, people either like them or they don't most like them, fortunately. And so then they're in the Sassy Zen Girl thing. That's the brand name. And then they, I meet the next one. And they often even write it in the reviews. I bought the whole series. And so there's that factor, too, that we all a little bit do. If we like something, we kind of like to have the complete thing. Like, I'm a fan of Lee Child. I have read every single of his books, you know, the Jack Reacher, just because I like the character. And you do the whole thing. You read the whole series if you can. So it's also from a marketing standpoint, a much smarter move than just have one book.
Yeah, I just went straight into a new guy that I'm reading. I went straight into his second book. And Amazon is so on your side when you have a series, because this was the first time I'd ever noticed, and I know they've probably been doing this for a while, but at the end of this book, maybe it's a new feature, it lets you buy the next book right inside the book, right inside the Kindle app. And it says you're at the end of the book, you want to read the next one, you can have it for 99 cents, which I know is cheaper than he's selling it if you just go straight to Amazon. I don't know how he does it or how Amazon did it or whatever, but I was hooked on the very first paragraph of the next book within 13 seconds. It was just that quick, easy.
That's what I call the evergreen bestseller hack, where you actually set it up as a series. And if you go to a book page to one of my books, you will see right underneath, there's the series. There's all those little thumbnails right underneath. Everything's pink. And that's like a little mini app. And they're totally free. And you just can't help but click on them if there's a topic you like. But you're just telling me I didn't even know that. So that's an additional really awesome feature. That's great. I didn't know that.
Well,
I guess I never read that book to the end.
Well, all I was doing was fantasizing that was my book series. I was like, oh, my God. I know that everybody's reacting the same exact way as me. If they had any feeling for this book, this story that I just had of wanting to go on, I know that it's got to be a huge percentage of people who read that just tap that 99-cent button and go right on into the next book. Brilliant, brilliant. And it's just a new way of looking at how all this stuff works. The other thing that you talked about earlier, the difference between fiction and what I call books that get something done or solve a problem or you have an issue, and people actually look to Amazon, you're proof positive that people look at Amazon as a place to solve an immediate problem. I need to learn about social media. I need to learn about blogging. And I know there's a resource here that's not a big fiction novel and, you know, 300 pages and all that stuff. It's just, I think a lot of people who are potential authors who would like to do what you do don't know that and don't look at Amazon in that way. Do I have the right feeling there? I mean, do you have to spend a lot of time getting people to understand that there's a huge audience that goes to Amazon to solve a very particular, very niched problem, and they know that they can do that in the book section?
Well, I think we all do, though, right? If I have a problem, I either Google it, or if I know it could be in a book, I might actually go to Amazon and check what they have. I think a lot of people would do that. And I think it's more scary for people that they don't quite know, oh, do I need a traditional publisher, or does it cost me thousands of dollars, and we just really don't know what to do about marketing, you know? And it's not rocket science. It really isn't. It's, you just need to know what to do, like with everything in marketing. It's never rocket science. You just need to know a technique that works and apply that. And I think another part here is, of course, that Amazon books oftentimes also show up in Google because Amazon has such a high authority.
Yeah.
And so having the right keywords in your title is just as important because Google also crawls the book pages on Amazon. And depending on your topic, and I know some authors specifically actually try to rank their books in this way and make good money from traffic from Google, actually, rather than Amazon. So that's another thing to keep in mind. It's much easier to rank something on Amazon than it is on your personal website because it just doesn't have that domain authority.
Right. Well,
so oftentimes
I probably do 30 or 40% of my searching for books, for authors, for things that I'm looking for. I expect now on Google that Amazon will be the first result. And basically, I'm using Google as Amazon to search Amazon. And I'll use a lot of Amazon search features, too, if I'm on there. But I know that I expect it to be at the top. If you're an author that I'm interested in, you should be – your book, your Amazon listing ought to be in the top 10 under your name and things like that. And I think people have figured that out. So,
right.
Yeah, it really does work, and it's an amazing thing because I do SEO for clients, and I do the hardest thing you can do in SEO now, which is, like you mentioned earlier, having a website, needing people to find you. Lots of times it's local businesses, things like that, and that has now become the hardest way to do stuff. People still want to do it, and that's not the only thing they're doing, or I won't do the work with them. I'm like, you guys have to diversify because you can't rely just on the slow-moving glacial pace of SEO when you've also got Amazon and you've got all these things that you're talking about today that can really be relatively almost instantaneous compared to the old ways of optimizing for regular old search engines.
Exactly, and it drives traffic back to your website because people who read my books oftentimes visit my website too. So I haven't been as busy as I probably should be on SEO, but frankly, I don't need to. And the same is with social media followers. I get them every day, even though I'm not as active as a lot of other people are on social media. For me, it's very much about focus and prioritizing. You can't do everything. And once again, publishing is such a powerful way. If they like your stuff, they will automatically try to find you on their favorite social media platforms, and they will go to your blog. And the other really powerful thing, as of course you would probably agree with, one of the most powerful assets you can have in business is your mailing list. And I haven't seen anything that grows a mailing list as fast as publishing if you have the right lead magnet. And that's really the key here.
Yeah.
And for instance, the first one was a blogging book, and I think I had my lead magnet was about how to find a good domain name or something simple like that. And a lot of people subscribe to that. So I automatically built my mailing list much easier than it would have been to do this with a blog. Same with travel. And I have two branches of the business, and the other is the travel books. And it's phenomenal. I mean, it's very little you have to do once you get books that rank well. That sell well. And the other thing is having a lead magnet that functions well. For my Bali book, for instance, initially that lead magnet, it just didn't work right. You know this from websites too. Sometimes you think it's the greatest. It just doesn't convert.
Right.
So that I had to try around, you know, like just like you would on a website. You sometimes have to try around a little bit and sometimes you hit it head on. Ideally, you pick something that goes well with the book, like a checklist or, you know, something that goes more in depth on something that people need to apply what you teach them. Then they're most likely to sign up for that. And that's just amazing. Also, for courses, as I'm doing now, you can invite people to a free training or, you know, the course itself, and they already know you. The key thing here is with publishing, too, you get a lot of prestige as a best-selling author. I mean, that's just the way it is. We all behave in this way, right? It just has a certain stature.
Right.
And people respect you more. Also, it's great for getting clients for that very reason, because people already read your book. They already know who you are and what you're about. And if they contact you after reading your book, they're ready to go. There's hotter lead as you can ever have. And they also expect actually to pay premium price. So they think they might even be on a waiting list because you're published, a best-selling author, not just published author. And it just has that clout that comes with it that you cannot create in any other way. But any other marketing technique, you first have to convince people that you're good at what you do, right? Or give them some kind of credentials. Whereas if they liked you, and I've done this myself when I read books recently with a legal thing, a lawyer who talked about LLCs and things like that, and he was very competent and convinced me. I thought, yeah, this is a good guy. He knows what he's doing, so why don't I just go with him? You know, instead of having to research online, you already know the guy is good. So you go with that. And that's another way for business owners why this is can be incredibly powerful. Even with products, you can write a how-to book and incorporate your product in that in a natural way. So it's not pitchy, but it's just what you happen to use. And a lot of times people will want to use it too because it's easier. We don't have to do the research. We don't really know what we're doing yet. And here's someone who we trust. The trust is established. And then you recommend something, and many times they will follow your recommendation. So it's
now,
amazing in many different ways. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, it absolutely is. But I'm going to ask a hard question now. So we've all been on Amazon, and we've found lots and lots of books that look like lonely little lost puppies that really don't look like they're getting a lot of attention. And clearly the person who's marketing that book, it either the book's not good or the book's not good and they don't know how to market on Amazon, or the book's great and they don't know how to market on Amazon. But you certainly can't just go put a book on Amazon and succeed. Surely that's not what you're saying. Like, there's like some other stuff
no.
that we need to know to do this.
Yeah, that's definitely not enough. That's what most people do. And, of course, that doesn't work unless you have a huge following. If you have a mailing list of 50,000 people who all buy the book and promote you, sure, then it could work. But most people don't have that. And if you just put your book up there, no. There's a whole technique to that, basically, where first of all, you want a launch team, which is a group of people who will pre-read the book. You give them a free advanced reader copy, and they will leave you a review on launch day. So that's important. So you have at least 10 to 20 reviews the moment you publish that book, like within a day or two.
Okay.
That is a very powerful trigger to the algorithm, because that tells, again, that's the social proof. That tells the algorithm, okay, wow, this book is popular. And that's one element. And the other one, you want to trigger a lot of sales and downloads in at least the first week or two. And that's where these promo services come in that I was talking about. Some work better than others. But basically, you submit your book, and then they feature it to their audience. And if it's a topic that's of interest, it very much comes also down to market research and making sure you're writing a topic that people actually want to buy. You know,
right.
You can't sell just anything. You want to look through the bestseller list of your field and see what the trends are, what is already selling well. And people are often worried that, oh, it's already out there and I can't. No, that's actually great if there's a lot of other books with the same topic, because that means it's selling. You know, it's a marketable topic,
right.
And that's what you want.
Well, you're
proof. There may be
right.
some areas like, yes. Yeah, I mean, there may be some areas like the self-help can in some niches can be a little bit more competitive, or weight loss. If you just do weight loss, that might be a little bit difficult, but there's ways to test that beforehand. But if you have a good book, and important here is also to have a professional cover. Don't do that yourself or skip on that. Publishing costs very little, but the three expenses you need to spend is one, a professional cover. Two, you need a proofreader at the very least, ideally an editor, but definitely a proofreader. And third, spend some money on those promo services. And they're not expensive. I think you can do all of that for less than $500, maybe even less than that. But it's much less than for any other business I know of that has instant success like that. Because
right.
you also make some money back from all the downloads you're having. It's not tremendous for the 99-cent promos, but still, you get money back. And that's something you need to invest as a marketing expense. But that's basically what it comes down to, the social proof with the reviews. And at the same time, that's the one trigger for the algorithm. The other trigger is having a lot of sales during launch week. And, of course, get your launch team also to promote it to them. If you have a mailing, it's promoted to them. tell everybody on Facebook to buy the book, you know, to really give Amazon that algorithm the feeling, wow, this is a really popular book, we should show it to more people. And Amazon has another really cool feature that's called Hot New Releases. You might have seen that on the right when you buy books. Mm-hmm. It certainly shows in the bestseller when you have a bestseller. And you have to do really badly not to show in those Hot New Releases. And they show that for a month. So that's additional free promo from Amazon directly to your book. But you need to have sales. You know, there's a lot of new books every day.
Right.
So you need to be among the top three, basically, that they constantly show, which is not that hard to do, really. It's different from the bestsellers.
Sales.
The bestsellers are usually much more competitive than that, you know. So get a couple of sales every day. Get those reviews going, and it's very likely that they will show you. And you have 10 different categories to choose from. So you will show up in those Hotmail releases in 10 different categories related to your field. So that's very, very powerful, you know. And then another thing is that it shows customer also bought, customers also bought, you might know underneath.
Right.
So,
I have bought tens of thousands of dollars worth of products from that section of Amazon.
See? That,
people who bought this also bought this.
That's, by the way, where
I'm...
Exactly. So if you are happen to, and there's ways to do that, be, you know, show where under a famous author for customers also bought, that is additional traffic. It's completely free. Of course,
mm-hmm.
there's also ads you can buy. They're not super effective, but they give a little bit of extra traffic and things. And then, of course, you also want to promote it outside. You want to do podcasts and guest blogs and all kinds of things that you would normally think of doing, hopefully, your press releases possibly. But those are the factors really that you need to do. And again, the title and the cover, that's what gets people in the door, because all that will not matter if your title, if your cover looks crappy, sorry to put it like this, you know.
Yeah.
That's the problem with a lot of indie authors, that they have these amateurish-looking covers, and they're self-made. And I remember when I did my first book, I created a mock-up, you know, and I was so proud of myself. I thought it was super awesome. And fortunately, I then gave it to a professional designer. And it was completely different what they did. They completely did not ignore everything I gave them. And I didn't even like it at first. And then overnight, I realized, no, it's actually really awesome. And when I now look at my mock-up, it's completely embarrassing. It's awful. And
I
told the designer, I told them it's completely horrible. So we get so attached to these things. We it's so fun to create this stuff. And but that's the one time where you really should not be creative, or have your friend be creative. Get a profession.
Right.
Because really, there is also certain art to Kindle covers, because of the thumbnail. It's so small, so it needs to pop. It needs to. You need to immediately recognize the title, and it needs to attract your attention immediately, or people will immediately go somewhere else among all those books.
Yeah, and the funny thing is about this saying that we've heard all of our lives, never judge a book by its cover. That's literally what a cover is for.
Yeah,
like, literally why they made the cover of a book is so that you can judge the book.
Exactly.
And it's done people such a disservice, like me. Especially there. And also you make a really good point about knowing your medium. Wherever you sell, whatever you do, if you learn about blogging, you learn about all of these kinds of things. They're very similar to the discussion about covers of the book, about how you present yourself, your website, the top part, the upper third, that, you know, what you do with your content and everything. There's just as many things that you need to know about whatever medium you're publishing on. And I noticed here, too, that you are really fully integrated with Amazon in every way it seems that you can be. Your blog posts are on your author profile page. So, and that connects directly back to your blog. So you're making a connection there that I know Google really likes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also another optimization factor.
Yes.
Not that you need it, but it's nice to have that Google traffic if it's as easy as integrating your blog with your Amazon profile, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's easy to do. You have the Author Central page. Amazon creates that for you, and you can add it. And actually, you should also have a video. I haven't gotten around to that yet. You can have a video of yourself up there. So, yeah, it's a great marketing tool. I mean, Amazon really, you know, goes out of their way to make it better. And I will say, since you mentioned a few years ago when people started, they have become a lot stricter because there were a lot of abuses with keyword stuffing and purchased reviews and all that stuff, fake reviews. It was really rampant, and they're really cracking down on that. In fact, if you buy reviews, you get your account shut down forever. And also keyword stuffing and all of that, they even have an algorithm that captures that for the most part. So it has become a lot stricter, which is good. because then otherwise it looks spammy if you have people stuffing their subtitle with all kinds of keywords.
Right.
But at the same time, you still, just like in SEO, you want your main keywords in the title. That's really important, and ideally in the front of the title, you know. So my books, for the most part, show up on page one for their keywords. That's another important part. And I didn't have to do all that much. It's just, you know, you prepare your book description page, again, the on page on Amazon, because the bots crawl that and read what your book is about. And you have a few keywords in the back, but I think the more powerful one also for Google is, of course, what's on page. So the title, subtitle, series name, all, and even the reviews, if people mention keywords in the reviews, which they often do if they repeat the title, is all triggering the algorithm to support you.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how we sort of bootstrapped ourselves, you know, not even really 5-6 years ago, still this way, but especially in the beginning of the internet, in the middle of it, and all the way up to like maybe 5 years, maybe 7 years, 2010. Everything that you did, everything that you got out of the web was a result of something you did, and typically something you had to build. Like you had to go build a blog, you had to go put WordPress on, and if you were going to get anything good out of that, it was going to be at the sweat of your own brow. It was going to be because you put, you know, one-to-one effort out there. And so there wasn't a lot of, as much leverage. And back then we were using the word leverage liberally, like all the time, saying you need to use a content management system like WordPress because that gives you leverage and you don't have to be a webmaster. So even back then things were better than they were before. But nowadays people can come on and do what you're doing, and they're so supported by the environment that they're in. And Amazon is one of the third-party, you know, it's not your own website or anything like that, but it's one of the very few that do such a good job of making it an equitable partnership between the author and Amazon. And that's really impressive because you usually have to figure out ways. Like, Facebook isn't always that way, and you're always trying to figure out ways you can make it more equitable because it sometimes feels like getting the better of the deal. And that you're still not leveraging as much as you could, and they might be feeling a little, you might feel like they're being a little selfish with how much their ads cost, or the exposure that they finally give you when you pony up the money and they still don't show your ad to the people that you want. But Amazon doesn't feel like that. Every time somebody like you comes on, not to talk completely about Amazon like you can, but they have a book and they just, as a side note, say a lot of the same things that you've been saying in terms of how their book just kind of took off, and not by accident, but because they also knew how to use Amazon and that it was their partner. And it's just really awesome that that exists in this day and age where a lot of other places seem to be taking more than they're giving.
Yeah, and I think Amazon understands that it's in their best interest, because the more money we make, the more money they make, right? So it's quite, and you know, the since you mentioned Facebook, Facebook ads are great, but they're also incredibly expensive. You know, it can take a while until you really find that golden nugget that really converts, and well, you can spend hundreds of dollars until you get there. Whereas I just mentioned to you how you can get a number one bestseller for less than $500 if you do it right, and possibly even have it keep selling long term and bring you clients, bring you subscribers in a way that Facebook wouldn't do quite as much. And I'm a big fan of Facebook ads. It's just a whole different thing, and it's very, very expensive. So I, for instance, don't have to use Facebook for list building as a lot of people do to build their mailing list. I just do it through Amazon. It's much faster. It's free. It's free hot leads. That's really what we have to understand here. Free hot leads instantly if you do it right. And I will say one caveat, like I said, not every book will take off like that, and you'd publish another one. As long as you have a series, you're insulated. Even the books that don't do quite as well are carried by the ones that do really well. And that's, I think, part of the secret here as well, to not just have one book.
Well, plus, I mean, if somebody told you, if somebody,
is when you get
somebody
the most,
said, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, if somebody told you that it was going to take you upwards of 10 or 15 or even 20 tries before they could get to the place that you, Gundiar, today, what would be the downside of that? What I see a lot of people doing is they go, I tried that Amazon thing. I'm like, really? How many times? Well, I put my book up there and nothing ever happened. And I'm like, seriously? You just did one try. And given the fact that market research and everything else can fail you, but what if you try? What if somebody said, now, this doesn't work until the 20th try? How many people would raise their hand and go, all right, 20 books before I get to 20 short books, not novels like Stephen King, but 20, you know, specific niche books before I succeed, if you can tell me that I'll get that, I can guarantee you that you'll succeed. And everybody would raise their hand, I would think, right? Because what a small price to pay if they want what you have. That would be nothing. But everybody wants some sort of a guarantee, and the guarantee is sticking to it, I think, the guarantee, right?
I mean, there's never a guarantee in life ever. You know, and there's always people who are successful at some things and not at others. And I've seen this with other things where I didn't succeed and others have success. So there's that. And, you know, your writing style and how you present your book, even the titles that you choose, certainly all has a part of it. But what you say is absolutely right. If it doesn't happen the first time, that's just like one step closer. Like Thomas Edison had this beautiful thing. It's just 10,000 ways that didn't work. So I'm one step closer to my goal. That's the way he looked at life.
Yeah.
And he had a lot more than just 20 attempts to find the light bulb. And he didn't see it as a problem. It was just one step closer. And, you know, with these techniques we know today, that is a great shortcut if you get good training. You know, that I think is really crucial. That's how I did it initially. I learned it from another very successful author, how she did it. You don't reinvent the wheel. You learn from someone who has done it and you follow a system. And then you can explore, you know, do additional stuff and try out other things. Like right now I'm trying a couple of other things. That's always good to keep adding stuff, but initially you need to learn a system that works. And that's what I say. It's not rocket science. Find someone who's done it successfully, meaning their books keep still selling very well, not just after the first week, and learn what they do and replicate the system. Like Tony Robbins say, find someone who has done what you want to do and follow the system or model them or copy them, and you will have the same success. Maybe not the same success, but you will get there too. And maybe it takes you two or three books to get there, right? Plus, you know, during the first launch, maybe some things go wrong. So what? Then you do a next one. It doesn't take very long. It took me a week to write that first book. It usually doesn't take me longer than that to write a book because, first of all, they're not that long. Secondly, it's topics I know really well. So it's really just writing it down. And if I gave you the word count, that's not that high. So you spend a week doing that and you spend a week maybe, you know, rewriting it and working on your title and things. And then you get reviewers involved, get feedback from them. So it's not a super time consuming process if you put your mind to it. And so you become better. And another thing I wanted to add is also sometimes in reviews, fortunately most of mine have been very good, but every once in a while everyone gets a negative review. That's just normal. And oftentimes you can learn something from that where I realize, yeah, actually they're right. I should have added that. And then you can add it. That's the nice thing on Amazon too. You can always update your book all the time. You can always update your cover even. So it's not set in stone. You can even change your title if you want to. So it's a work in progress many times, but it is just like you said, it won't be absolutely perfect the first time around. You might get lucky the first time around, but if you stick with it and really learn the marketing part, that is key, I think, with everything in online businesses, you will get there. And if you're not a good writer, you can outsource that and have someone ghostwrite, you know, or learn how to write.
You're knocking down all the obstacles here. Like, you know, you already know all the excuses everybody's going to come up with because you teach people this stuff and you've heard them all. And you just keep knocking them down right and left like they're no big deal. And truly, one gets the feeling listening to you that they are not the big deal. The big deal is not the process or where to do it or the details of things. Those are important, but they're not the main thing. It's really just us getting off our butts and doing it and believing that they're, you know, that you really are able to show people this stuff. Like if you were teaching this, Skundi, where would somebody go to find out more? Because people are dying to go, like, all right, she's really good at teaching this stuff. She really knows it. It's obvious. She knows what to do. I need to follow her. Where do they go to find out more information about this?
Well, I just, it so happens, created a course actually for all of this, and it's specifically for business owners or, you know, professionals or bloggers. In other words, the nonfiction arena. And it's called dreamclientsonautopilot.com. That's the URL. And that will actually give you a free training where I go a little bit more in depth. And I also have a full-blown course of the same name, which I introduce at the end of that free webinar. But you get a lot of free training even without the course. And that goes more into like a four-week plan on how you can set this up and what is important. We also talk about niching and dream clients, I mean the client avatar, the marketing stuff that people also often forget, and the market research. There's a lot of basic stuff that needs to come first before you actually start writing the book, right? So that it supports your business and brings in clients and leads on autopilot, which it can really do if you do this right. So, yeah, Dream Clients on Autopilot, easytoremember.com.
And you'll find it underneath
right there.
This, the podcast. Wherever this shows up, you will find the link. I wanted to get that out of the way so that I could at least save a couple of minutes for this whole conductor thing. Like, how the heck does that even fit into your life? Usually people will go, oh, yeah, I did that. That was my big thing in life, and I didn't do anything else. But you just kind of casually throw that in. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, that's what I did for most of my life. I was a classical musician, a conductor, organist, pianist, and I had my own choir and orchestra, and we toured. We played in a lot of fun places. We played in Carnegie Hall and for the Pope and things like that. And that was fun. You know, it was great for like about 20 years or so, and then I kind of needed a break, and I wanted something different. And I've never looked back. I've not regretted. It doesn't mean I won't ever do it again, but I much prefer the freedom that I have now and the lifestyle. But it is what I grew up with and what I did for a large part of my life, at least music. Yeah. But even there, I started being an entrepreneur and do marketing and not having to work for the people, that sort of thing. That was, I guess, this is my DNA. And very much enjoyed that part, too. I filled Carnegie Hall without a marketing budget.
Well, let me just jump in and add this one thing. I often tell my students that in their businesses, they need to be like the conductor of an orchestra. If you think about what that means from the standpoint of you really know what that means, right? You don't necessarily need to know how to master every instrument in the orchestra. You need to know how to harmonize them all to create beautiful music, and more importantly, what to do to put people in the seat so the orchestra has people to play for.
Exactly. Yeah, you need a vision. You're the one with a vision. And it's funny that you say that, because people often say to me, but then you probably play every orchestra and every instrument in the orchestra. I said, absolutely not. No, I play the piano, I play a little bit the flute. But that's their job. My job is to keep it together and to have a vision. And in my case also, that's not usually what musicians do, but I always love the marketing part, to also fill the place. And talking again of leveraging, that's how we filled Carnegie Hall. I didn't have a marketing budget for that. I just leveraged other people's audiences and, you know, created win-win situations. And, you know, I also had lived in New York, which helped. But we really filled that place, and we got a standing ovation for 20 minutes, which in New York is not normal necessarily, but you know, it was by working together with other people, and you know, having an idea, having a vision to do that, no matter how crazy it may sound, and then just do it, even if it may not work out. You just do it, even if it even if it doesn't work out. So then you do it again until it works out. So not whether it works, but if not if, but when.
Look, if you don't teach that to your clients now and actually use the story of having been the conductor to give them the analogy to what they're doing in business based on how you do what you do in business, you really should. They really understand it when they hear that.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, you're right. That's a good tip, Gina. I'll do that. Never thought of it, actually. Great that you brought it up.
From now on, when I teach it, I'm going to use you as the example, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be honored.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Gundi. This has been a real pleasure.
Same here. And I really enjoyed this time.
And thanks to John Aberle for making the introduction.
Absolutely.
Yep, thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
And we will be back same time, same place next week. Have a fabulous holiday, everyone, and we'll see you all back here next week. Thanks again, Gundy.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for another episode of Leverage Masters. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook on our Leverage Black Book page to keep up with the latest. We'll see you next time on Leverage Masters.